Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, and in the next hour, we'll focus on mindfulness, bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment. Developing and deepening our capacity for mindfulness throughout our daily life is essential for reducing fearful and negative thinking, for letting go of the stories we tell ourselves that keep us stuck in place, and for transforming our relationship to ourself, to others, to the world. Join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. As I say every week, the show's purpose is to provide a space where you can bring your attention and awareness to the present moment. Really, if it's at all possible, to take this moment to either be just listening to the show, maybe with a notebook, finding places where your ideas and your perceptions and your experiences resonate with what I'm talking about, insights you gain as you listen about your own experience, as you become a greater student of your own mind, which is really the kind of the underlying purpose of this show. So I hope you have the time to do that. And if not, maybe you're listening while you're driving in the car or making dinner, an activity that maybe you can do with not your full attention, not something I recommend, but we have to listen where we can, don't we? My topics are intended to support people on their journey towards greater mindfulness. And mindfulness, or bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment, is a simple goal that can be difficult to achieve. Its value, though, is that mindfulness practices bring us greater internal peace, and being peaceful within ourselves allows us to bring more peace into the world. And being the source of greater peace in the world is, for me, and I think for many of you, essential. And today, incredibly hard to come by. Like many of you, I've been consumed in the last week by the events of the last few days, the terrible events in Washington, D.C., and state capitals around the country, including right here in Washington State, have been at the forefront of my thoughts. I've struggled with my own thoughts and feelings while recognizing that my internal struggle really doesn't do anything to alleviate the suffering that's beyond my front door. It's been a hard week, but you know, in some ways not here in the confines of my home, even in my city, but certainly in my own mind. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I feel torn apart, but I don't want to waste my energy feeling sorry for myself or criticizing myself for feeling torn apart or ruminating endlessly about the state of the world. I want to ask, how can I bring mindfulness practices to bear and shift my energy so that I can be a responsive and responsible citizen? I think that is that fulcrum maybe that we're on is, am I too wrapped up in my own thoughts and feelings and anxieties and concerns, or am I so externally focused that I am creating a lot of actual internal suffering in a different way? And in both cases, am I in a state of paralysis, of not really feeling or believing or knowing that I'm doing anything that feels constructive or useful to me? I think that's what happens when you're not at the center of the things that are happening. But I think so many of us feel like powerless witnesses, and that's a very uncomfortable place to be. And it's worth challenging. More important, I think it's worth challenging that space. So last week I left you with a quote from Jack Kornfield, and I'm going to start today with that quote. He wrote, "As we move through this beautiful and troubled world, may we vow to be a beacon of peace, a fearless carrier of respect and loving kindness for all life, a teller of truth, a voice for justice, a protector of those who are vulnerable or targeted. May the power of wisdom, integrity, and compassion be our guide." It's a tall order, but it's definitely worth pursuing and thinking about in close kind of examination of what's happening, what I'm experiencing. And I hope that you'll be thinking about what state have you been in these last few days? What activities have you been engaged in? Where are you right now, this moment? And where would you like to be if you're feeling stuck or that kind of state of paralysis? But it's always good to start with breathing, because we know that when we bring our attention to our breath, we can increase that feeling of being calm, and we can focus our attention and we can be more relaxed. So let's do the breathing where we, some people call it breath of life or breath of joy. So we're going to bring our hands to heart center on an inhale. We're going to interlace our fingers and push our palms out on an exhale. We're going to bring our hands over our head on an inhale, and then we're going to release our hands on an exhale. So we're going to do this three times, and I hope you'll join me. So inhale. Thank you. I always think about when I do the breathing exercise on this show that I'm, you know, modeling it. I hope it's something, any kind of breathing exercise that you might bring into your daily life at various points in the day. I think that a lot of them are incredibly helpful, especially right before we go into a stressful situation or when we anticipate being stressful, when we're trying to get back to sleep at night. But also the reality is I do it at the beginning of the show because it's helpful to me. It's a completely selfish activity on my part. And I think, and I just want to say, I don't know that I've ever had a week on the almost 8-10 months that I've been doing this show where I have felt so much in need of this kind of healing and mending practice. So I labeled the show today, or titled it, Mending Our Ways. And so I want us to think initially, if you would, in your own life, if you're feeling that you are torn apart, what are some of those seams that maybe are coming apart for you? What's been happening in the last week out in the world, the larger world in our country, that maybe has given you feelings of grief or despair, frustration, anger, fury? I think that we can, if we're engaged in social media, if we're watching the news, if we're on Facebook quite a bit, you can see in your bubble or mine that there's a lot of responsiveness. So people are responding and reacting. I know two different things, but people are very much engaged in talking about what's going on. But I want to ask myself, because I really do think there is a sense of feeling torn apart, of what does that look like? And where are those places that are particularly torn? So for me, I know that if I think about where does my mind go when I'm maybe watching a lot of news, I think about people in my life. There aren't a lot, but there are some, and they're pretty close relatives who I think probably have opposite responses to my response. And it's hard not to be engaged in a kind of internal dialogue with them all the time. A dialogue that's often has a lot of shame in it, a lot of anger, a lot of blaming. And that's one place where I feel a kind of people, things being ruptured or split apart. And of course, people have been talking about this in their families since 2016, maybe much earlier than that, depending on your particular family and the politics at work in your family. But for me, that's a place where there's a real sense of, is this a rupture that will never be able to be mended? But it's also much more internal in some ways as well. I find myself reading things that people are posting, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or stories on the news, and the kind of obsession we have with not just who is to blame in a concrete sense, right? Whose picture is on the news, who's been arrested because they had a flagpole of all things that they beat somebody to death with, a police officer of all people. Right, but who is to blame in that larger sense? And the kind of what I think feels very disruptive, that's such a calm word, but what I feel is kind of this rupture is feeling that the desire to want to blame, to want to have, to be able to explain it, say, here's the cause, here's what happened, here's who did it, and therefore we can solve it because we know who's to blame, versus realizing that when I'm in that space, I am certainly generalizing about who is to blame or what the cause is, that I'm simplifying. Right, who is to blame or what the cause is, that I'm dealing in stereotypes. And in general, I'm engaging in behaviors that, of course, I think other people whose politics are the opposite of mine are engaged in and that I criticize. So to me, part of the being torn apart is that desire for certainty, clarity, how did this happen? How do we prevent it from happening again? Versus knowing that when I'm in that space, I am actually engaging in a kind of thinking, a kind of analysis, which I would put in quotation marks because it's very superficial, that is unhelpful, that is only demonizing people and not just individuals. But it is demonizing whole groups of people, whole parts of the population, and that is can be immediately satisfying, but ultimately is unhelpful. And then, of course, as soon as I have that thought, where do I go from there, right? Well, now I'm in that both sides, right? Oh, but there's blame on... No, it's not that I think there's blame on both sides. I think it's hard to tell what the sides are. And I think we saw this last summer we see this in the law enforcement response to this. On the one hand, there was a time when during certain protests, we might think, oh, law enforcement have acted very badly. Oh, law enforcement are essential. Law enforcement are involved. Law enforcement are to blame. Law enforcement are causing it. We can be all over that map as well. And it's back to that, just that circling and circling and circling and getting nowhere of what's happening here and how do I deal with this. But really none of that thinking is particularly helpful. So when we come back, we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to start with a very loaded term, I think, which is self-care. And what are some ways in which we can bring ourselves into a more peaceful place as we deal with these difficult issues. So you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope you'll join us after the break.
Tune in to The Crooked Climb with Suzanne Taylor King and Denise Stiegel, committed to guiding your journey through the world through mindfulness and personal care. These ladies are rebellious, real, funny, and powerful, helping you realize your full potential while navigating the twists and turns life always brings us. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Are you ready to accelerate your wealth and success? Join Ahana and Daniel from Rise and Be Rich with Cornelia Stephanie on the Millionaire Imprint for Women on Transformation Talk Radio every third Friday, 1 p.m. PST. Step out of lack and into your power of creation. Build and grow your wealth. Create prosperous businesses that make a difference. Visit ahanalara.com/RBR show.
Has your kindness been used against you?
Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into The Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. Excuse me. Thank you for joining me today. I am feeling a little bit sad today, I think is probably the most accurate way to describe it. So we're talking about kind of mending our ways. What has felt for you torn apart? Where are the seams coming apart in these last few days? If you're, as I am, consumed with the news of national events, worried about the future of our country in a large sense, as well as in a kind of concrete everyday sense of what is to become of us? What are we going to do? How are we going to fix all this, all that needs to be fixed, and particularly the relationships among people? And that's where I'm particularly noticing those feelings of being torn apart myself, which is concerns about relationships that I think have been ruptured and may not be repairable, and difficult decisions to make about that or to allow to unfold. And also the larger the kind of polarization that everyone talks about, what form does that take and how do we see it in our everyday lives and what are we going to do with it? So I want to start with talking about one of my favorite phrases, which is remembering to practice. Because I believe that if I don't have some sense of inner peace, I can't bring a peaceful countenance into the world. I can't bring peaceful energy into the world. And is it the case, like me, that maybe you are forgetting some of your practices in these last few days? If your news consumption has gone way up, what's the impact been? How's your diet? How are you sleeping? What kind of exercise are you getting? I really became aware of this just this last Monday. I noticed on Monday how badly I had slept on Sunday night. I was really tired all of Monday as a result. And somewhere in the day, it finally dawned on me that that had actually happened the Monday before, and that there was a common denominator in both of those restless nights, Sunday nights, nights where I woke up multiple times. And what was I thinking about when I woke up those multiple times? I was thinking about whether or not I was going to wake up on time. Ah, right? Waking up, worrying about waking up. Ah. And the reason I realized, I've done this before, I've made this mistake before, and here I was making it again. So trying to give myself a little grace, but to say, what happened? Well, I get up every morning and meditate. And I sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays, when my partner gets to sleep in, I sleep in. Is it a crime? No. Do I always then make up and have a meditation half hour or so somewhere during the day? No. Do I always tell myself I will? Sure, you bet. So what I did was I allowed myself to stop practicing, gave myself permission to sleep in. And probably on Friday and Saturday nights, we stay up a little later, so sleeping in seems like a really good idea, et cetera, et cetera. But is a practice, the meditation practice, the time, the doing it the same time every day in the same place has been incredibly beneficial to me. But I let it go. And I think this is always something I'm coming back to, is this question of self-care. you know, we tend to teach, we mock that term self-care quite a bit. And we mock people who use that term self-care quite a bit. And I think that's unhelpful, of course, because if we aren't caring for ourselves, we probably aren't really in an authentic way caring for the people around us. It's easy to mock because it can be so saturated in consumerism. It can seem very trivial, the kind of activities that people engage in that they might call self-care. But I'm not really interested in judging what people do that they call self-care. If it is genuinely that for them, I'm all for it. What I am concerned about is recognizing it in my own life. So that's, and for me, that's why I ask those particular questions. How much screen time am I having? How well am I sleeping? How much am I meditating? What am I eating? For me, those are the components. How much exercise am I getting? And it's not really exercise, it's walking every day. How much of that am I continuing to do? How much am I, in other words, remembering to practice practices in particular that help me feel better? I am always amazed at the number of clients I talk to who sleep badly. And when we talk about something like how, what are your sort of sleep hygiene habits, they kind of fail at a lot of them, whether it's, you know, reading their phone in bed or not thinking about the temperature of their room or not going to bed at the same time every night, simple things. So but I'd like to be able to step back when that happens and to say, what's happening, what's driving, what belief perhaps is driving my inattention to self-care? And, you know, there's that kind of superficial level of, oh, I stayed up late, I'm going to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, and the self-lie of, oh, I'll meditate later in the day. Instead, I want to, you know, say, what is under that? And I, for me, this has always been a question of, I shouldn't have to, right? And essentially, I shouldn't have to sort of go out of my way, do something specific in order to be happy. And I think I've dealt with that kind of all my life, that sense that things that seemed important were easy for other people and were difficult for me. And a kind of honestly underlying, whether it's jealousy or resentment or just a feeling, a one down kind of feeling of, why do I have to work so hard to do this thing? And of course, there are two real problems with that. The first is my assumption that I know how hard the other person is working. Right, then I know what burden they're bearing, and how it is that they are coming to whatever place they're coming to. And the second is the assumption that they're happy in the first place. I don't know, really. I don't really know. I really don't, as much as I think I do, what's going on inside of other people. So when I think about self-care, when I think about remembering to practice, I know that I'm running sometimes up against this kind of deeply held belief that I've had most of my life that there's a kind of poor me quality, I'll admit that, that says, why do I have to work so hard? And you know what? I just know in a more generous, compassionate place that we're all working hard at whatever it is that we're doing. It's hard for all of us. It's hard in different ways. Some of us have different comforts than others. It is not to say that those things don't matter, because they do, but it's really of no value to me in terms of my own inner peace and happiness to sit in judgment of other people in any respect, really, but certainly not in terms of what their burden is, how they're taking care of themselves or not. And as a coach, all I do is try to ask the questions to say, what are the practices that help you to be in a calm, thoughtful, responsive rather than reactive place? And that's what I'm trying to do in my own life, is to remember what those are and to give myself permission to engage in them and to really challenge that voice, that of resentment, that is kind of from a very old story. It's real, but it's kind of an old story. So in general, as we're talking about this particular historical moment when we are, many of us, struggling, the first thing I would say is, if you are struggling, are there practices that you've let go of or that you are struggling to manage that are getting in the way of you feeling calm and responsive? And what's driving that? What's behind that? This came up for me very suddenly in a conversation with a client the other day, because she said to me at a certain point late in the conversation, she asked me, How are you dealing with all of this? She said, you've mentioned before that you kind of manage your news intake. And so I'm wondering, you know, what you do. And I have to say my first thought or feeling was kind of a rush of anxiety. And I thought, I don't have some clear procedure that works every time. I'm just kind of making it up as I go along. And that inner critic that we all have, mine in particular, said, but that's not what she expects. That's not the kind of answer she's looking for. It's certainly not the kind of answer she deserves. It's not the kind of answer she's paying for, right? So I tried to slow down in that moment. And, you know, really, it was probably 10 seconds, but it seemed like a very long time when I tried to remember to turn inward and to pay attention to what's happening inside. And that's what I said to her. Here's what I'm doing to manage this difficult time that we're in, and trying to find greater inner peace for myself. And that is, I'm trying to remember to turn inward at a certain point, to pay attention to what's happening inside during these days when I feel absolutely mesmerized by the news. And I remind myself of the beliefs that drive that behavior and the habits, the practices, the unhelpful practices that keep that anxiety and fear going. So that's what we're going to talk about after the break. And we're really going to focus on if you're thinking about if the news is really important to you and burdensome to you at the same time. Let's talk about what's driving that desire to be so deeply engaged, what you're making of it, what it's doing for you, and also how it's working against your happiness and your ability to be responsive rather than reactive. And then also, let's get practical. Let's talk about what are some things that you're doing. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll give you my ideas about what I'm doing to manage that in a way that is less overwhelming. Okay, so when we come back, that's what we'll be talking about. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
What do you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit livingyourgifts.com. That's livingyourgifts.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange moment. Have you been searching everywhere for answers? Do you long for wise guidance to lovingly direct you? Guess what? You have your very own divine spirit guides in the highest light, available 24/7, just waiting to help you live your best life. Call in your spirit guidance on a daily basis to help you make important decisions. All you have to do is ask, with a sense of openness, curiosity, and willingness to be divinely guided. Throughout your day, be open to notice what shows up for you. A spoken phrase, a book, a message from a song, or simply a knowing. And always offer gratitude for that loving guidance, and don't forget to put it into action. Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I thank you for joining me today. And today I am focused on now. And for me, now is about what's going on in the country and the difficulty of, I would say, in a way, placing myself in a position that being responsive rather than reactive, and doing that from the inside out. I know that I can't be a force for peace, even in the grocery store, if I'm not at peace within myself. So we're talking first about what are the practices in your daily life that maybe you've abandoned or have become diminished in these last few days, as maybe your attention, like mine, is so focused on news apps and television news and newspapers, et cetera. Maybe getting back to them, to giving yourself permission to go back to them and to recognize the value that they have in not only in your life, but in how it is that you are in the world, how you treat others, how you interact with others, because you have some peace in your own life. So if that's through movement, through meditation, through cooking practices, one of the things I've been doing as a kind of alternative to being mesmerized by the news is more complicated recipes that take more effort and energy and thought, because it's a good productive thing to do that is, and I don't have to listen to the news while I'm doing it. So I've been talking though specifically about this, about how do I manage this news addiction, it sometimes feels like, but I would say just that draw, that constant draw to see what's happening, to refresh the apps on my phone, et cetera. Is it helpful to me? What drives it? What do I do to manage it? A client asked me that and I felt anxious when I didn't have here's the three steps. But I just was honest with her and said, I try to turn inward and pay attention to myself a little bit to say what is happening for me. So the first thing I do though is try to remind myself of what drives the behavior. Just as I know when I sort of resent not being a perfect person who can achieve tremendous happiness with no effort, like who's that person, but you know, that kind of childhood resentment we have of other people don't seem to have to work as hard, that I also have beliefs that really underlie my fixation sometimes with the news. And one of them is I really believe that it's important to me to see things as much as possible, even if it's on the television, but see it firsthand, right? To reduce the number of filters, reporters, commentators, et cetera, framing devices. Not that I can get rid of them, because where there's a report, there's a reporter, which is to say there is a point of view shaping what I'm seeing, unless I'm there in the crowd myself. And even then, I only have a partial perspective, right? So, but I like to see things firsthand. Yesterday, the president made a statement, and I didn't see it when it was on the news, so I watched it myself, because I didn't want somebody else to tell me what he said. I knew that the news programs weren't going to show the whole thing. I don't expect them to. They probably had shown it when it was live, but they weren't going to replay the whole thing. So I found it on YouTube and I watched it myself, because I want to make my own judgments as much as possible. So, you know, that's good in some ways, because I'm pretty well informed. I have seen a lot of history, in a sense, at least the televised version of it, most for the most part, firsthand. And I feel better about that. I feel as though it allows me to develop my own opinion about things and to bring facts together and from various sources, and to really use critical thinking skills, which I really value when I'm doing that. And I also noticed, though, that I have a, there's a feeling of obligation within that belief about being kind of a witness to history, that I have to be able to say that I know what happened. And I know that it's paired with, to be frank, a disdain that I have often felt towards people who say they just can't bear to deal with the news, that they just ignore it, they turn it off, they won't engage. And trying to be less judgmental about that, but I know that that's under there too. There's a sense of this is my moral obligation by God. So, but getting locked in constant attention to the news, I also know doesn't serve me, doesn't serve my whole self. So I do remind myself, and this is what I said to my client, not only I want to know what those underlying beliefs are that drive the behavior, but I want to pay attention in the moment to how I feel in my body and where my mind is going. So I allow myself to notice when I've had a big news day, how I feel. And it's not great. I feel heavy. I notice I'm a little short-tempered. If my partner comes home and I'm in the midst of watching some horrible event unfold, I'm a little snappish. And, you know, we're on the same side. So it's just, you know, the energy, where your mind goes, the energy follows, and where your energy goes, your mind follows. And so that's where I'm in that angry, frustrated place, and I'm going to snap at somebody. I'm anxious and I'm tired. I'm really tired. So I want to pay attention then to that and say, okay, is that how I want to feel? Do I feel obliged to feel that way? Is that what it means to be a good citizen, to be somebody who cares about what's happening in the world, is that I have to feel really crappy in order to do that? So I just try to keep getting concrete and descriptive and focused. What's really happening? So I notice, I want to know what's driving it. I want to know how I feel in my body. And then I want to pay attention to my habits. So for instance, my second cup of coffee in the morning is typically after my partner has gone to work. And one of the things that was happening most days was I would have that second cup of coffee with the television on and the news on, of course, with my phone in my hand, where I was checking a national newspaper site and Twitter, and I was circulating around those things. So sometimes now I say, okay, I'm just going to watch the news. And this is one of those things that I've really gotten better at because of a general mindfulness practice of doing things like making the bed and only thinking about making the bed when I'm making the bed. Say, when else could I just be doing one thing at a time? And so just watching the news is less stressful for me than watching the news while I'm on my phone looking at three different sites. So that's one place. I just leave it plugged in the kitchen and go into the other room and drink a cup of coffee and watch the headlines and then be done with that. Another thing I notice is that when I'm on my phone, when the TV is off, I'm going from a TV news site app to a newspaper app to Twitter, where I follow a lot of news sources. And I have to allow myself to notice when I'm going through for the third time, right? I've been to the newspaper, I've been to the television news, I'm now on Twitter, I've caught up on all three, so now I'm going back to the newspaper. Like, wait a minute. Okay, first time through, that's fine. Second time through, probably could be a good place to stop. Third time through, now I'm in a rut. Now I'm feeling heavy and snappish and frustrated and angry. So I want to take a break. And it doesn't have to be, you know, go bake a cake. It can be walk around the block. It can be something small. Eat lunch sometimes is a good strategy because I'm probably cranky and hungry. So, but then the other thing I want to notice is that, yeah, there are small practices I can put into place that are kind of stopping me, you know, that's right. I don't need to be on my phone while I'm watching the news. That's right. I don't need to go through these sites a third time. Okay, fine. I can do something else. But there is a tendency then to have that all or nothing solution. And I think a lot of us have that. Okay, I'm doing this too much. I'm going to ban the news, or I'm not going to pay any attention to the news before noon, or I'm only going to have 1 hour of news a day. It's exactly the way we think about things like New Year's resolutions or weight loss or other kinds of dietary changes. all or nothing. I'm going to do this perfectly or I'm going to fail. In other words, we make a declaration that we're sure to violate. And all it does is really give our inner critic a lot more fodder, a lot more to criticize us for. So instead, I try to go back to just noticing and looking for small places to make changes that are in my best interest. So the leaving the phone unplugged in the kitchen while I watch the news, noticing when if I start that third time through on those apps, maybe I'm going to go do the crossword puzzle instead. If I want to leave the television on because there's some hearing or insurrection on the screen, I don't criticize myself for it. But once the live coverage is stopped, I do work hard to remind myself of those fundamental principles. If I want to be the one who sees it and makes my own judgments, then I don't need to spend an hour listening to commentators telling me what I saw. So it is remembering myself, coming back to myself in that moment, that I can then turn my attention elsewhere. And we want to talk about that because noticing the other kinds of limitations to those beliefs that drive that behavior. Because what do those beliefs suggest? Some positive, I think, but some negative. And I can acknowledge them. And first and foremost, of course, is that I can't possibly witness everything that happens. I can acknowledge that I'm not the only one who's paying attention, and I can trust that I'm not the only one who's paying attention. I can also trust that not being mesmerized by the news every day doesn't mean I'm ignoring reality, or that I don't care, or that I'm wrong in so many, many ways. I can trust that others whom I trust are also paying attention. I can trust that I care, that I'm going to do my best to pay attention, but not all the time. So why is managing my news intake so important? Well, it's certainly important for my own peace of mind, for my own physical health, right? So that I'm still doing the things that I do that allow me to feel awake and alive and present. But it's not just me or my mind and body that matter in this equation and in any equation. It's also my role as a citizen of this country. Right, I live in a democracy, a participatory democracy. I know it's also a republic. That doesn't mean it's not a participatory democracy. And so I want to be able to be a responsive citizen, not a reactive one. And so that's part of what it means to have some peace of mind, as well as some understanding of what drives my behavior towards the news, when it's unhealthy, and what I can do about that. So when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit as we kind of wind up today. The idea that, you know, when I'm saturated with news coverage, I tend to drift towards other kinds of all or nothing thinking about other people, right? When I'm in that kind of veil of anxiety about the news, I'm in that space where I want to know who's to blame, because I want to know who to hate. I want to know who caused this, because I want to know who, what, right? That urgent desire to know what's true, who's right, who's wrong, it overwhelms me, and it puts me completely in the realm of that reactivity. I lose perspective. I can't see nuances. I'm on the verge of wanting to shout, lock them all up, and I know that's not the right answer. So when we come back, we're going to kind of round up our conversation today about being mesmerized by the news. How do we take that, the ruptures that causes, I think, in my own life, and do some repair work on them through mindfulness practices? You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Your favorite Transformation Talk Radio shows are now on Spotify. What? Simply search out your favorite host or show by name, tap the subscribe button, and boom. With over 150 million active monthly users on Spotify, Transformation Talk Radio is thrilled to expand our reach so you never have to miss an episode. Yeah! Well, what the heck are you waiting for? Log into Spotify and subscribe now.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants
me
to do.
Tune into the show, Heart Change Consciousness, with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, ladies. Are you sick and tired of having a great idea and not knowing how to get that idea off the ground? The high-heeled go-givers are here. This community of highly dedicated women have locked arms in a purpose-driven mission to uplift and transform the lives of women throughout our communities. Don't forget to tune in to listen to them and me talk with you about not just how to survive, how to hit the ball out of the park.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
Are you trying to lose weight but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrienne Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrienne or to work with her personally, visit LifeCanyon.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Transformation to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So we've been talking about the challenge of mending kind of the ruptures we may have been feeling in this last week as we deal with what's happening in the nation. So it really has been a challenge for me, as I think is probably pretty evident from today's show. So I've been talking about wanting to recognize the underlying beliefs that drive my obsession with the news and the feeling sometimes mesmerized by the news, and as if it would be irresponsible to turn the news off, to recognize the practices that reinforce that behavior and find ways to disrupt them, to have a sense of compassion for myself about that behavior, and then to recognize how it is that sometimes what is really the downside, in addition to feeling stressed and anxious and paralyzed by the news, I also think it puts me into a mindset that as a citizen is not helpful, is not productive, and is certainly not going to move anybody forward, and doesn't allow me to bring greater peace into the world. So, because I think when I'm too engaged with the news, when I have stopped kind of noticing how it's affecting me, I'm just sort of mired down in it. I am also mired down in a desire to have quick answers to who's to blame, who is at fault, how can we fix this in a simple, polarizing kind of way. So one practice that really helps me when I notice that that's what's happening makes me a more effective citizen is to focus on description. Focus on facts as much as we can know them and what happened, rather than rushing to say why. I mean, all of the analysis within 24 hours about why these people are doing this thing, I find, keeps people employed. I don't mean to be so unkind about it, but I think it is unhelpful at this stage, where we really need to be focusing on what happened and who was engaged. Right. If I focus on description, I don't have to demonize anyone in order to point to a behavior and say that's illegal. People who do that ought to face legal consequences. I don't have to make sweeping judgments about white men with scruffy beards or people from the South. I don't have to make assumptions about how much education or how much money people in the crowd have. And I can feel relief when I see that people are using social media to identify perpetrators, that leaders in law enforcement are identifying their own who participate in that. They're identifying consequences, the more the better, for that behavior. I can appreciate that African Americans have been telling white Americans for over 100 years that the law is not enforced equally or equitably. I can see all of those facts being played out in front of me on the television. I can pay attention to that, and I don't have to go into a kind of analysis that says, I know exactly why this happened. I don't know why this happened. I mean, we can all point to 1,000 reasons, but there isn't one thing. And I think thinking there's one thing, there's one right way to think about this, it's extremely unhelpful. It's not very nuanced. It doesn't promote critical thinking. So that's what I'm thinking about today as I think about the news and about how am I responding to it and how am I staying whole, operating from a place of integrity and compassion, as Jack Kornfield encourages. Right. And thinking about the routines that I create in my life, not abandoning, for instance, my meditation practice just because it's the weekend, right? And I'm not creating a routine just to give my inner critic something else to criticize me for when I fail to practice it. I'm giving myself permission to feel better, to feel happier, calmer, less anxious. I'm accepting myself and my needs. And they may not be the same as yours, and that's okay. Self-care doesn't look the same to each of us, and that's okay. And self-care, even in the face of a national crisis, is important. In fact, it's essential. If we're going to be responsive citizens rather than reactive citizens. You know, my word for the year I mentioned last week is perspective. And to me, this is exactly an occasion for maintaining perspective, to recognize when I'm coming from a particular point of view, and that means that there are other things I can't see, and being open to seeing them. You know, as we think about all of those images from the insurrection last week in Washington, the more images we get, the worse it looks. And think about how many images we didn't see in that first day that are now becoming apparent. So that's why, to me, focusing on what is evident, what evidence, what do we know, what are the facts? I don't, again, have to demonize anybody to say your behavior was illegal and there should be consequences for it. So I'm repairing what I can in my own self so that I can be part of repairing what is amiss in our larger society. And I'm trying also to pay attention to what is good, because it is not all bad. Somebody I love, who loves me and who loves my partner, sent us a box of fruit. These are the best oranges I've ever had in my entire life. And I'm just so grateful. And it came at just the right time. We've had a lot of rain in the Pacific Northwest in the last week. And rain is good, but so is sunshine. And I'm so grateful for it today. If you'd like to learn more about working with me as a life coach and a communication coach, I hope you would visit my website, mcguirelifecoach.com. It's mcguirelifecoach.com, or you can email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail.com. The first conversation is always complimentary, which is another word for free, right? And we'll talk about what you'd like to achieve from coaching, and I'll describe my inquiry method that I use with clients. And we'll have a short session, because I want you to be able to determine if working with me serves your needs. I want to quote one of my clients who recently said to me, you know, Mary Angela, my inner critic really hates you. I'm trying to figure out how to use that as a tagline. My inner critic hates Mary Angela, because that was one of the best compliments I've ever gotten. So you can visit my website. You can email me at maryangelamcguire.com and at gmail.com. And next week, Craig Gingrich Philbrick is coming back to the show, and he's going to help me debrief the events of Inauguration Week. I could use the help. I think we all could. He is certainly a voice of calm and reason and equanimity, and I'm so appreciative of that about him. Let's do one more. Three deep breaths. Would you do those with me to feel calm, to feel relaxed, to set your intention for the next hour? One more. Final breath. So until next week, I encourage you to be curious about your mind, to notice what is driving your behavior, to notice the immediate practices that are reinforcing that behavior, to allow yourself to say, is this helping or hurting? And knowing that it's probably both, and noticing what's the good in this and what's the downside, and then being kind to yourself as you make whatever repairs are necessary to be a whole, integrated person, a person who can move into the world with an attitude of compassion, of loving kindness, of seeking the truth, of focusing on the facts, and of not needing to demonize others in order to condemn their behavior occasionally when it's necessary. And right now, that's the space we're in. So thanks for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and I hope you'll join me next week.
You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.